So can I just check that the volume is unsatisfactory enough for you? Yeah? Good. All right. So as we've expressed before, you know, our experience is affected by things. All appearances, everything that we sense in this sensitive awareness, depend. One of the things we're quite interested in is how they depend on the body and the heart, mind, the condition, their conditions, how appearances appear. Some people today, it's Yom Kippur, as many of you will know and be very present with you. So some people are going to be fasting, refraining from eating, maybe also refraining from drinking. And so that's going to affect perception. Yeah, just so you're aware that that's going to happen, if you're doing that. The body, heart, mind, they're not separate things. Yeah, the way the world appears to you is not separate from the body, heart, mind that senses, knows, experiences this. Yeah. Many people who fast, as far as I understand it, or used to fast as a child and then kind of fasted growing up, oftentimes sleep as much as possible to not experience the dukkha of being hungry. Or they do puzzles to keep themselves distracted or whatever else. And so here we're going to be meditating, and that might be a really different way of meeting this experience if you haven't done that before. Yeah. So the world you will know inside and out will be affected today. And of course, maybe that's your intention. But also not forgetting, what's your big intention for being here? What best supports you in what you're here cultivating? And just checking in that you're doing that. Yeah. You remember the last phrase that we put in the metta chanting? May all beings look after themselves with ease. So we hope you're going to look after yourself with ease. And being attuned to what's helpful. Yeah, not being too rigid, maybe, is what's helpful. Yeah, maybe softening, easing is what's helpful. So we have a very middle way attitude to this. We're not encouraging you to fast. We're not going to try and stop you from fasting, but wanting this to be something that you do sensitively and finding what your middle way is in relationship to this. The second thing to mention is as the retreat deepens in this way, sensitivity also increases. And so we still want to allow and encourage those who find it helpful to write things while they're in the hall during these speaking sessions. So like now, the meditation, suggestions, instructions period, and the talk. But if we can, all other times, we will not write in the hall, right? Because even that little movement and things gets a little bit distracting for people, and if they're trying to deepen, it's really helpful if we can really support people in that way. And also, you know, our comings and goings. People might start practicing earlier, before a session. So when we come in, you know, it's almost like we're entering into a more still space and kind of walk in a way that supports that, all of that. Yeah. So any ways in which we can support that, support each other, it's really helpful. So I just want to mention a little bit that the last group meeting that you were in was the last group meeting for this retreat, and we're going to move to just one-to-one meetings for the remainder of the retreat. And our intention over the next 2 days is to see everybody in a one-to-one meeting. And so we gave it some thought, and we thought, what is the minimum amount of push and pull on experience possible in the way that we invite this to happen? And so when you go to look on the notice board, you will see there's a list and your name is already on it and you've been allocated an interview, and then you just need to turn up and share whatever's helpful for you to share that will support you in your practice, here and now. I mean, just bring whatever you bring. It can just be an exercise in speaking and listening. It could be questions, inquiries, reflections, whatever supports that. It doesn't have to be anything special. We don't have any special expectations of you, but I just want to offer that as a way to hopefully support and deepen our practice and experience together. So, dukkha. Dukkha is here. And how we meet it really makes a difference. Yeah. So one of the things that you might notice about dukkha is that there's big dukkhas and there's little dukkhas. Yeah. So dukkha is actually a spectrum of experiences. Dukkha depends. That second noble truth is called dukkha samudaya. Who does dukkha hang out with? Yeah. What else is there when there's dukkha? That contracted sense of the energy or the body that comes along. Those greedy or aversive demands on life that come along. How that thing that we're paying attention to has become more solid and significant, less anicca. I've got to deal with it now. It's only going to get worse. You know, it's going to get stronger. It's going to be here forever if I don't do something. There's a lot of pressure on ourselves, pressure in time, pressure on experience. Understanding upon what dukkha depends is there to help us understand, well, if that wasn't there, it wouldn't be the same dukkha. There wasn't all that pressure. There wasn't all that contraction. If there wasn't all that agitated pushing and pulling on experience, dukkha wouldn't have its dependencies. It wouldn't have what it depends on. Yeah? If you imagine that dukkha is here and it's leaning on this stuff and then you take it away, it hasn't got what it's leaning on. Fades, falls, even disappears, or seems to at times. Understanding that dukkha is a spectrum also allows us to understand maybe it's just gone more subtle. Yeah. I used to be really agitated, pushing, pulling, pushing, pulling. But even if there's an appearance in awareness right now, and there is, right? Something's appearing. There's a bit of holding that thing in attention. It's a little subtle dukkha, keeping attention, attending. Yeah? Loosen that and it kind of fades away. There's a little bit of conceiving, perceiving, thinking. There's very subtle agitation in a moment of experience. And we can soften that. So this is really an endless teaching, because it invites us to take our experience from very gross, very built up, become more subtle. We can stay there, we can enjoy that. Getting more subtle is more enjoyable. Lessening time and self, pressure, contraction, demands is nice. And then when we feel like it, we can go a little bit more. Go a little bit more. So the way that we relate to our experience is really what matters here. Yeah, that's what we're inviting us to play with, to move with. And you may feel, you have enough practices to go on with and you're happy with the ones that you have, and you're very welcome just to continue with those. And for those who want, we can introduce this this other way of practicing, which is to see that anything that appears is unsatisfactory. Yeah. And just seeing what happens when we drop that in. Yeah. So I'm more or less repeating concepts and ideas from last night, but if anyone feels it would be helpful to have a translation for anything that I've been saying, just give a little wave that it'd be helpful, and we'll set that up. Great, this is why I gave her the mic. So we're going to have the Hebrew for unsatisfactory.
So, אז אני אגיד בעברית, יש ייחודיות לשפה האנגלית שיכולה להבדיל בין unsatisfactory ל-dissatisfactory. כן, ההבחנה הזאת בין משהו שהוא הפוך מסיפוק, כן, למשהו שלא מכיל סיפוק. כן? אז כשנייתן אומר unsatisfactory, הכוונה בתרגול הזה זה לא מכיל סיפוק מצידו. אופס, שמעתם אותי? כן? לא כל כך. לא מכיל סיפוק. לא מכיל סיפוק מצידו. הדבר, התופעה, כן? לא מכילה סיפוק. אין בה סיפוק. אבל זה לא, אין בה סיפוק, אבל זה לא אומר שהיא לא מספקת. כן? יש כאן איזה עידון, שהוא משמעותי בהסתכלות. כן? אז אין מילה בעברית, כן, בעברית אנחנו יכולות להגיד חוסר סיפוק, בלתי מספק. הדבר הכי קרוב שאני חשבתי עליו, שזה לא בדיוק מילה שנשתמש בזה, אי-סיפוק, אבל כל זה נשמע כמו הפוך מסיפוק, וזה לא הפוך מסיפוק, זה לא מכיל סיפוק, כן, בפני עצמו או בפני עצמה. כן? לא מכיל את הסיפוק בפני עצמו או בפני עצמה. כן. נכון. אז יש הצעה כאן בהתאם למילה שמכילה את המילה מפעל, לא מייצר סיפוק, כן. אבל הדבר המשמעותי באמת לזכור זה שככה אנחנו מסתכלות על הדברים. אנחנו מסתכלות על הדברים באופן שמזכיר לנו שהסיפוק לא קיים בדבר בפני עצמו.
So the translation of unsatisfactory into Hebrew is a lot of words. And yeah, so to be honest, unsatisfactory in English is used like a synonym, a word that just means the same as dissatisfactory. Like if somebody were to say to you, it is unsatisfactory, yeah, they're not saying what we're meaning. By this, we're giving it new meaning, a deeper meaning. Yeah. So we know satisfactory, facer is to make, so then becomes like a factory, makes satis enoughness. So that's enough. I feel enoughness coming from this thing, or we imagine we do. Or we say, you know, that sound is dissatisfactory. It's taking me away from my enoughness that would otherwise be there if that weren't there. Yeah, and that's how it feels. And what we're saying is, things don't do that. They are unsatisfactory. They're not satisfactory, and they are not dissatisfactory from their own side. Yeah. So there may or may not be a perfect word for that, but if we can imbue the word with that meaning, if we can fill the word with that meaning, doesn't have satisfactory or dissatisfactoriness. And then it's interesting to see, what does that do to appearances? What does that do to experiences? Yeah. So as we use that example story in the shop, you can see it so many times in so many places, we feel a sense of relief when we get what we want or we get rid of what we don't want. It's, oh. But actually, we could say it's the relief of the dukkha samudayas. Yeah, it's the relief of the pressure, it's the relief of the demand, it's the relief of the solidity that we built around this thing. And that's the relief that we can get, whether we get it, whether we get rid of it, whether it stays, whether it builds, whatever happens. If we can learn how to relieve the demanding, yeah, on experience, we can have relief. We can move from reaction to response, from, you know, following patterns and urges to being creative. Just the noting for us many times, unsatisfactory, brings us into this space that, very difficult word to translate, upekkha. Yeah. But we can see that flavor in the holy disinterest. Yeah, this can be here, but I'm not going to invest in it, and I'm not going to divest from it. I'm just going to hold it in this kind of holy disinterest kind of space. I was practicing with this morning, and the kind of the phrase that came to me was a sensitive and spacious, subtle seeing of experience. It's sensitive, I can sense and feel, it's spacious. It's also subtle way of seeing something. Seeing something and the way that we see it encourages it to become more subtle. Yeah. Less of a thing than it first seemed. Another way of seeing this practice is it opens out that possibility space. There's more possibilities of how to meet this. Maybe, you know, that leans more into the metta or other kinds of qualities, the appreciation that we saw through the Vedana practice also. Let's see, as kind of as bare as we can, what happens when we drop that in, when we drop that attitude in? This is unsatisfactory. So this practice, like all insight practices, is well supported by more calmness, by more spaciousness, by more ease, by that kind of more gathered qualities that we're also cultivating. So don't forget about them. Nothing is going to replace them in their level of importance for us. Yeah. So it could be 90% of the time we're doing those kinds of practices, and then we drop these in every so often. It might be as much as 2/3 of the time we're supporting that samatha, samadhi, and then we drop in a bit of insight. But it can be very helpful when you're very agitated, when you're experienced with this. It's like, oh, that brings that ease that I like. Yeah. But in the beginning, let's support the spaciousness, the sensitivity. Something that can happen to us with any of the practices is maybe we get what we call beginner's luck. We do it, it's effective, difficulties disappear, and then later we find, oh, it's not working anymore. You know, I'm zapping them with unsatisfactoriness and they're not going. You know, I really kicked it hard with unsatisfactoriness right to the, and it didn't go. You know, that kind of subtle aversion has come into the practice. And just making sure that there can be this sense, oh, I'm letting it go. Are we also letting it be? Yeah. Also letting it be here. If it's unsatisfactory, why does it have to go? It's no longer a problem. It's only dissatisfactory things that are problems. You're unsatisfactory. You can stay. But there's nothing here holding it here, so it will probably go. But that's fine. Staying and going. It's their business, not our business. Yeah. We're just supporting this sensitive, subtle, spacious seeing of experience, this holy disinterest. As I think Goenka was calling it, you know, seeing with saintly eyes. Yeah. Whatever that might mean for you. So I hope that makes enough sense that we can try it out in the practice, knowing we're playing with a spectrum. Things might get subtle, we can bring it into the subtle, or we can enjoy the subtle if it comes. Making sure we support enough this samatha, samadhi, calming, centering, gathering, and all those practices as well. So if you need a little stretch, feel free to do that, and then we'll settle into 25 minutes or so of practice. Invite you to begin with doing your foundational practice, your primary practice, what supports you, has been supporting you to be here. With that presence, with your sensitivity. want to invite us to practice in slow motion. So not rushing. If you notice you're paying attention to something, don't find it so helpful here to rush back to the breath, the sounds, whatever. When we notice, just noticing, tension's gone here. Slowly bringing inviting the attention to notice there's breathing, there's listening, there's kindness, whatever the foundational practice is. It's also here, including that in. We have the slow motion to notice. And staying with whatever you notice and inviting the attention to soften. As if there's nothing we need to get from this. Whatever we're paying attention to. Allowing the attention to soften, like the face can soften. Belly and the shoulders can be invited to soften and relax. Also the attention. How we hold this. How we release this. Seeing if you can sustain that more delicate or refined attention with what is your foundational practice, your primary practice here. could view this experience as attention grabbing onto something, and we can actually allow that grip to loosen, to be like an open palm. So this can be held, allowed to be, and allowed to pass. Not pushed away, not grabbed onto. But sensitive, wide open, palm of attention. Moving towards non-demanding. Times we can notice that attention has trapped something in attention, it's holding it there. And maybe we can let it be free again, let itself liberate as we open that holding. Letting it come and go. you can, supporting in yourself a sense of spaciousness, a sense of sensitivity, but also an interest in the subtle of what's here. Maybe it's the energy within the form, the materiality. And in this delicate, open palm of attention, recognize anything we sense does not bring enoughness, does not subtract enoughness. This unsatisfactory. Allowing the relaxation of the push and pull go deep. And any release we can enjoy. Maybe even the release is unsatisfactory, not to push or pull upon. and this, it may appear that it has satisfactoriness or dissatisfactoriness. But it is unsatisfactory too. Don't need to hold on to it. Don't need to try and get rid of it. This, this, and this. Unsatisfactory. And even this is not benefited by holding on to or pushing away. But let's take the last couple of minutes just to linger, sensitive, gentle, with what's here. Letting yourself be touched. Letting yourself dissolve into this space. So remembering if at times we cultivate sensitivity or a way of perceiving the world and we want to sustain it, remember you can keep that balloon inflated between practice sessions or practice forms, if that's helpful. Whatever works for you in sustaining and enriching your day, your practice. So this is also a practice that's, you know, can be supported in different practice forms. If you like, it's very possible to kind of see that walking is unsatisfactory from its own side. Yeah, you might have an idea that it either is or isn't that at certain times. We can also bring that kind of open palm of attention into the walking. Maybe the way that we walk can be an act of peace, demanding very little of life, being very gentle, very delicate. Allowing the walking to be relatively free of contraction, of tightness, of expectation, and yet still doing it, still supporting it, still hopefully even benefiting from it. So as before, we'll take some time in the hall for anyone who feels it'll be helpful to